Test 1, 2, there we go. All right. I'm Joe Griffin's retarded oldest child, I guess. I can't figure out how to turn the mic on. I did grow up here. Brother Angel wasn't the pastor at the time, but he has since become my home pastor. And this is my home church. And, of course, we celebrated Mom's 80th yesterday. It was on air, all the balloons, so she doesn't mind me telling it, okay, even if it goes. At the piano is my wife, Lisa. We've been married 31 years. On the end down here is my son-in-law, Ben Rahelio, his wife, Esther, who is my second oldest. I've got Rebecca, who is my second youngest, Abigail, my youngest, and Elizabeth, my oldest. And we're going to sing Saved to the Uttermost and The Longer I Serve Him for you this morning. I could tell of the story as thousands were fed, how he lifted the sick and he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what happened to me.
Saved to the uttermost, I know that I am.
I've been
washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
Good life you're living, woe to it alone.
So trust in the Savior, He'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say, I'm saved to the uttermost, I know that I am. Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved to the
started for the kingdom. Since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows.
Singing. Luke chapter 17, good revival, spirit-filled music is so important in a church, and godly music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, wonderful singing for our hearts this morning. Luke chapter 17, if you don't have a Bible, it's all right. Look on with somebody nearby or just listen carefully, and I think it'll be hard to follow this morning. We're going to start reading down in verse number 11, and if you are able to, only if you're able, if you're not, that's fine. You join us in standing for the reading of God's Word as we honor His Word. Chapter 17, Gospel of Luke, verse 11, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to speak this morning on the subject, touched by goodness and grace. Touched by goodness and grace. Father, speak to our hearts this morning, please, from your word. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. This is what we came for ultimately, to hear from your word. And so I pray that you'll please minister your word to us in power this morning, meeting the need of our hearts. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. The Bible says about Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, who went about doing good. So this man, Jesus Christ, went about doing good. Now we see proof of that statement in this story about Jesus and these 10 leprous men. Jesus was on a journey to Jerusalem, and the Bible says that he passed through the areas of Samaria and Galilee. Coming to an unnamed village, it's just a certain village, Jesus encountered 10 leprous men. The Bible says in verse number 12 that those 10 leprous men stood afar off. They were standing afar off because of the leprosy. It was a disease that required a person to be quarantined. We kind of heard that word lately, okay? From others, which means there was some degree of contagiousness to it. Leprous people usually stayed outside the city or village limits. There didn't seem to be any living quarters for them to reside in. I guess they just had to make do the best they could. Lepers stayed outside the city until they got better or died. They had to identify themselves as being leprous by holding a cloth, much like this, over their mouth. When somebody got too close to them, they would have to hold a cloth. It's like speaking to the lady behind the counter and trying to figure out what you're trying to order, isn't it? And they had to hold a cloth over their mouth and cry out, unclean, unclean. They had to identify themselves as being leprous. You know, amongst the Jews, leprosy was regarded as punishment for sin by Almighty God. Now, the truth is that God did use leprosy as punishment for sin in some cases. Gehazi comes to mind. Remember Gehazi? He was a man that God punished with leprosy because of his deceitfulness and his lying and his covetousness. All right? But Naaman, in the same story, Naaman was a man who had leprosy apart from God's punishment. He was an Assyrian. He didn't have it because of God's punishment. Leprosy infected the skin, and it ate away, and the nervous, neurological issue, and it ate away extremities like toes and feet and fingers and hands and ears and noses, lips. I remember being in the Philippines. I think it was 1997, but I'm not positive it was that year, but it was sometime then, 1997 or so. And we had been to Iloilo City with missionary Rick Martin. And then he had taken us to a leper's colony. They had a ministry to a leper's colony. And we walked through this colony and all these leprous men, it was for leprous men. And these leprous men were in house, sitting on porches and in chairs, little houses that they lived in. Some were missing feet. Some were missing hands. Some were missing their nose and some were missing their ears. And Brother Martin's church had a ministry to those men. And at least they had a place to sleep and eat and live with their leprosy. People with leprosy were shunned. They were outcast from society. They were unloved. And they were usually treated very harshly because of their condition. But Jesus treated them with compassion. In verse number 13, they saw Jesus. And the Bible says they lifted up their voices and began to cry for mercy from the great master. Now, we're not told how they knew of Jesus. But you know what? Suffice it to say that just about everybody living this day had heard about Jesus, who went about healing the sick and casting out devils and feeding the hungry and even raising the dead. So when they saw Jesus coming near, boy, they began to get after it. Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the Bible says in verse 14, that when Jesus saw them, he did not ignore them. He didn't shun them. He simply said to them in verse 14, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now you say, that's a funny thing for Jesus to say to them. Not if you knew custom, not if you knew Hebrew law, and not if you lived in this time. Not all these men were Jews. Some were. Some were probably Gentiles. One was a Samaritan. But when Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, this was according to the Hebrew law of cleansing. The Hebrew law of cleansing. And so as a whole, all 10 of them took off together. And as these 10 men started for the priest, the Bible says in verse number 14, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they were miraculously healed from their leprosy. The Bible says they were cleansed. And that's a reference to their leprosy. It was gone. And in the law, this was amazing. In the law, the Hebrew law concerning the cleansing of the leper, there was a process. That they had to go to the priest, and then they had to quarantine. Then they had to go back to the priest, and then they had to quarantine. And then the priest had to come and inspect the house where they were living. And then they had to go back to the priest. And then they were quarantined. It was a process because it took time for the leprosy to heal. But you know what? When Jesus touched them and healed them, there was no process. It was automatic. They were cleansed. Their leprosy was gone. Now, in verses 15 and 16, after noticing that he had been cleansed, one of the men, turned, and the Bible says with a loud voice, glorified God. I don't know what that means about loud, but it means it wasn't quiet. Okay. He turned back, and by the way, don't miss the last phrase of verse number 15, with a loud voice, glorified God. He was in the group that just a moment ago had been calling Jesus. Jesus. But now he's on his face at Jesus' feet glorifying God. Because, folks, he recognized that the one who had sent them to the priest was not just Jesus, a good man who could do miracles, but Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God in the flesh. That's who Jesus was, is, and always will be. God in flesh. And so when he saw what had happened, he realized there was only one who could have cleansed his leprosy in that fashion. And that one was the Son of God, God in flesh. And he returned to thank and praise Jesus as the Messiah, the one who was God in the flesh, and the one who returned to glorify and praise God was the one most despised by all the others, the Samaritan. The Samaritan. See, all of the lepers were outcast, but Samaritans were the outcast of the outcasts. This was, if you want to put it this way, this was the lowest as you could go in society in those days. And he was the one who returned to recognize Jesus as God and thank him for the wonderful healing that he had experienced. Now, Jesus in verses 17 through 19, he speaks to those who were with him or around him, and he asks two questions, right? In verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10 men in that group? Where are the 9? Where are the others? And he then points out that the only one who had returned to give glory to God was the Samaritan. In verse number 16, he didn't point it out, but he made reference to that. It's only one has returned to give me any glory. Then Jesus speaks to the man who had returned to give him glory as God, and he says at the end of verse number 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now don't miss this. In other words, that man was more than touched by Jesus' goodness. He was touched by God's grace. Because he had been made whole. You say, well, wait a minute. Weren't all of them cleansed of their leprosy? They were all touched by the goodness of Christ physically. But only one came back to recognize that you are God in the flesh. You are Messiah. You are Jesus Christ, the one who has come to die for our sins and pay our atonement in full. And Jesus said to that man, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got more than physical help. He got help where it really matters. 10 out of 10 were touched by his goodness. 1 out of 10 was touched by his goodness and his grace. All 10 men were touched by the goodness of Jesus Christ. You can't deny that. He healed their leprosy. And what a remarkable act of goodness this was. Listen, these men were shut out of the city, possibly headed for death because of their leprosy. And in one moment of time, Jesus, in compassion for them, healed them of that dreaded disease. Jesus was good to them. But only 1 out of 10 was made whole. Whole, because listen, people are more than just body. We are body, soul, and spirit. And being made whole here involved more than just this man being healed of his leprosy. He was touched by grace because he realized who Jesus was, the Son of God. And he came glorifying Jesus as God, and his faith in Jesus, the Messiah, come to redeem them from their sins, resulted in Jesus touching him with grace, saving grace. That one man was not only touched by the goodness of Jesus, he was touched by the grace of God. I'm going to give you four lessons real quick. We're done. Number one, all people are touched by the goodness of God. There's not a person in this room who hasn't been touched by the goodness of God. Now, you may not have recognized it, but you have been. There's not a person on the planet who's not touched by the goodness of God. We breathe His air. We drink His water. We live on His dirt. Our bodies function according to how He created them to function. Come on, seriously. This intricate thing called the physical body, the physiology of mankind. You really think this just evolved from some frog? Yeah, just folks, come on. You know better than that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God made man in His own image. Our bodies function according to how He made them to function. Everybody has been touched by His goodness. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45? He, talking about God, maketh His sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, sending rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, did you hear that? Jesus said that was God's sun. That big, round, bright yellow thing in the sky this morning. And it was beautiful. You know who that belongs to? Belongs to Him. Because He made it. And so do the moon, and so do the stars, and so does the solar system. God created it all for mankind's enjoyment and mankind's usefulness. God's goodness has more to do, folks, with just having money or a good standard of living. Everybody has been touched by the goodness of God. The sun rises on the evil, and it rises on the good. The sun and the evil and the good enjoy the light and the warmth that the sun provides. The rain falls on the crops of the saved and the unsaved. Everybody's been touched by the goodness of God. Everybody. Nobody's left out of that. Okay? But number two, there is a difference in being touched by the grace of God. There's a difference. Being touched by God's grace is different than being touched by God's goodness. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Being touched by God's grace requires faith. It's faith in Jesus being the Son of God and believing His death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for your salvation. It is turning to Jesus and Jesus alone as your hope for eternal life in heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to die on a cross and became the curse of sin for all of mankind. Jesus died on the cross by shedding His blood so that mankind's sin could be atoned. Jesus' body was placed in a borrowed tomb to prove that He was dead. And then Jesus rose from that tomb to prove that He is God in the flesh. God's goodness to us by giving the sun and rain and air to breathe will not take away our sin. As good as that is, it won't erase the debt of sin that we owe. But Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection will take our sin away and pay the debt of sin we owe. When a person comes to Christ in repentance and faith, it results in God touching them with grace. His grace takes away our sin, gives us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, God made mankind, and only God can fix mankind. Only God. But you have to be touched by His grace more than just His goodness. This man was made whole. W-H-O-L-E. He was not only cleansed of his leprosy, he was forgiven of his sin. As we sang a little while ago, his name was written down in the book of life. A new name in glory. And that's more than just God being good. That's God's grace. God's grace. Now, let me say this morning. There's a difference. Everybody's touched by God's goodness. But there's a difference in being touched by his grace. Let me say this, number three. And this is sad. But only a few are touched by the grace of God. So who do you think you are to make that kind of statement? I'm a nobody. And that's what I really think. But I've got scripture for you. There was only 1 out of 10 who was touched by the grace of God. 1. You know what that is, folks? 10%. Now, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Now, this is not straight in the sense that this aisle is straight. It means narrow. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Listen. "And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, that's not a pastor's opinion. That's not my take. Those are the words of Christ. Everybody's touched by God's goodness. But percentage-wise, only a few get born again. You can't live in this world without being born. Physically. But only a few of those who have been born are born again. Made whole. The Bible says the gate is straight and the way is narrow. Why is that? Because God doesn't want many people in heaven? Oh, no, no, no. God is willing, not willing that any should perish. No, no, no. The reason it's narrow, the reason that gate's narrow, and the reason that road is narrow is because it is only through Jesus that a person can be touched by God's grace. Only Christ. It's not church membership. It's not having been baptized. It's not having Christian parents. It's not handed down by osmosis. No, 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 no. No. It's a very narrow and straight gate because Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Well, Pastor, that's just your opinion. No, 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 no. Those are his words. The way, the truth, the life. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus, over and over again in his ministry on earth, was telling people, and it's recorded for us, that the way to heaven is narrow. It's straight, not because God only wants a few people to go there, but because the only way to get to heaven is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his Son. You know, so many people enjoy the goodness of God, but they refuse the grace of God. We go out, we try to invite people to church, talk to them about salvation, you know, and it's interesting. You can, you know, knock on the door of a complete stranger and compliment their flowers and their landscaping and their beautiful lawn and you know, the trees. And you know, boy, they start talking about that. And maybe you see some pictures on the wall. Oh, is that your family? And they begin to, everybody loves to talk about their kids. Talk. As soon as you bring up, "Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" Don't talk about that. I was at the door yesterday of a lady, and I was actually looking for somebody else that had visited here. They lived in a kind of a place. It was, I guess it was apartments, but they were all on the same level. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. And they'd given the address, but not the apartment number. So I thought, well, I'm just going to knock until I find them. You can't knock on the wrong door, right? So I knocked on the first door, and I was inviting this lady to come. And I was talking to her about her kids, and the little boy was very, very, very just a good little kid. You know, you don't find people that actually speak. This little boy spoke plainly, clearly, and complimenting. And it was all good. And I said, listen, let me ask you a question. What about eternal life in heaven? I'm going to talk about it. You know, people enjoy breathing God's air, drinking God's water, living on God's earth. But when you start talking to them about where you're going after you leave here, it's like a wall. Like a wall that comes up. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:14, listen to these words. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Hell is huge, and yet many continue to die without Christ and go to that awful place. Why? Because so few, everybody's touched by goodness, but so few are touched by grace. And people, look, we need more than fresh air to breathe and good water to drink and a nice place to live. We need to be made whole. Whole. Well, physically and spiritually. So my last one is just this question. Are you touched by God's goodness and grace? Or are you touched just by God's goodness? It's a fair question. You see, some are born into a home with parents who are saved and parents who honor God. The Bible is respected and prayers are said and church is attended. There are boundaries established to keep the home holy and right. There's a genuine love for God and each other. How good God is to place somebody into a home like that. But that does not mean that person is touched by God's saving grace. There must be a time when in faith in Christ alone, somebody has to admit their sinful condition. And it, folks, it's more than just saying, oh yeah, I know everybody's a sinner. No, that's true. But in order to get touched by God's grace, I'm the sinner. I've sinned against God. I've broken God's commandments. I have been a false witness. I have lied. I have coveted. I have had other gods before Him. Maybe I've taken His name in vain. I'm a sinner. And I need God's grace. I need the unmerited favor of God to save me. And God wants to give us that grace, but it can only be given through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So how have you been touched this morning? Have you been touched by His goodness? Everybody can answer yes. Yes. But have you been touched by His grace? This has nothing to do with being a Baptist. This has nothing to do with being in a Christian family. This has nothing to do with this church. It has everything to do with the fact that Jesus Himself said so many are touched by His goodness, so few are touched by His grace. You say, well, what if I'm not one of the few? That's up to you. That's up to you. God's not up in heaven. Well, this one is going to go to heaven, and this one's going to go to hell, and this one's going to go to heaven, and this one can go to hell, and these 10 can go to hell. I don't care. Nope. God doesn't decide that. We do. And I can only decide it for me. and you can decide it for you. You've been touched by His goodness. Wouldn't you like to be touched by His grace? Wouldn't you like to know what it means to be made whole? You see, what the Lord does for us is more than physical. What He does for us is He resolves that conflict that's inside, that guilt, that no peace, that constant, ugh. God puts all that to rest when He makes a person whole. Whole. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Not His goodness. His grace this hour. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? All 10 of these men were cleansed physically by the goodness of God. One was cleansed spiritually and made whole by the grace of God. One. Touched by His goodness and His grace. And His grace. And His grace. Amen. And His grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. I want to speak just for a minute with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And the Griffin family sang just a little bit ago, saved to the uttermost. You know what that means? Exactly what happened here. Made whole. Made whole. So let me just ask this morning a fair question with our heads bowed and eyes closed. How many in this room can honestly say before God, that you've not only been touched by God's goodness, you know you've been touched by God's grace. By that, listen, you know that you're saved. You know that heaven is your home. You know that. You know it for a Bible reason. If you can say, I've been touched by God's goodness and His grace this morning, with no one looking, would you just raise your hand as testimony of that fact? I've been saved by the grace of God. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now, there was some in the room that did not raise their hand. I appreciate your honesty. Maybe, you know, sometimes people don't understand the question, but I think it was pretty clear. Now, let me ask you, wouldn't you like to be touched by His grace? Wouldn't you like to be made whole? I can tell you what's missing inside because for 18 years, I missed it. I missed it. But then I was touched by His grace when I came to Him for salvation. Wonder who's here this morning said, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago because, frankly, I don't know. I don't know if I've been touched by His grace or not. I know I've been touched by His goodness, but I don't know if I've been touched by His grace. I don't know where I'm going when I die. And I didn't raise my hand then, but I'll admit that now. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. If that's you this morning, could I see your hand just slipping up in the air while no one is looking? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Did God speak to your heart this morning? Side to side, front to back, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here today? Not trying to get anything out of you. That's not my purpose. It's just offering you the opportunity to talk to somebody about how to be touched by God's grace. Have your sin forgiven. Know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you need that this morning, we're able to help you with that. We're able to help you with that. Anybody like that, Pastor, pray for me. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, and you came to obey the Lord, believer's baptism this morning, or you want to talk to one of these men about it, as soon as the music begins, you make your way to the front. If you came to be baptized and you're going to do that this morning, you can even come now, and we can help get you ready for that if that's why you came this morning. If you need to talk to somebody about going to heaven, eternity, where you're going to spend eternity, we have ladies that can talk to ladies, men that can talk to men. They can take the Bible and show you what it means to be touched by God's grace, to be born again, to be made whole. Because without being born again, Jesus said, you won't see or enter the kingdom of heaven. And that would be awful, folks. Don't do that. Don't make that choice this morning. Come and choose life. Come and choose Christ. Come and choose to be touched by His grace. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. The music's going to begin to play. And if you'd like for somebody to talk to you with an open Bible, about salvation, you make your way to the aisle to the front. Tell one of these men, I need to know about this. If you came to be baptized, you come at the same time. If you need to use the altar for any reason, it'll be open. Father, thank you for your goodness. Most of all, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the sun, the water, the earth. But God, thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, for salvation in Jesus. Thank you for your unmerited favor that makes us whole. I pray that you'll draw men to yourself this morning. Men and women, speak to hearts as only you can. In Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The lady begins to play the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Maybe your heart is touched by that this morning. Maybe you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now's the time to step out and follow the Lord after you've been saved. Would you come while we wait? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. Would you come while we wait? That's right. God bless you. Would you come this morning, touched by His goodness and His grace? Jesus said, there's going to be many, many that travel down that broad road and go through that wide gate to destruction. But few there be that find that straight and narrow gate. Few.